Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Folks, I have an amazing guest today. Her name is Alina Leo. And Alina, we're going to be talking about some very important topics, women's voices in business. So you are a woman and you're in business.
I am. Thank you for having me, Carrie.
Well, listen, give us the quick story about where you're from, because I know you bring this European background, I believe.
I do, yes. So I was born and raised in Vilnius, Lithuania, and actually I got my undergrad from there, from the Mykolas Romeris University, and my undergrad is in public administration. And I married an American, and I moved to the States, and the rest is history.
I love it. I love it. And your husband's name is Stephen?
Stephen, yes. Stephen with a PH.
Yes. And he's with the Air Force?
Yes, he's the Air Force civilian. So he works for the Air Force.
I love it. Well, listen, one of the things that brought us together is that we are new faculty training. You, of course, have been part of Cedarville, the business school, for a little while. We'll learn about that. But I believe that female voices are very important. And, you know, we see over the years when a female perspective is not brought to the table in the C-suite, there's some negative drawbacks. And so let's talk about some of that. First of all, how did you get into Cedarville? And I'm glad there's a seat at the table for you.
Thank you so much for saying that. And so I completely agree with everything that you said about the importance of hearing and amplifying female voices. But just briefly about my history with Cedarville. We moved to Ohio from Germany 2.5 years ago, and I immediately started looking for a job. And there was a vacancy at Cedarville University. And I had never heard of Cedarville before, but it looked like a wonderful place to work for. I did some research and I applied.
And you had a strong faith too.
I did, absolutely, yes. And Cedarville is a very strong Christian university, and all my prior education is from secular universities. I didn't even realize that there was an opportunity for such a strong Christian university with also academic excellence. And I believe that academic excellence is important for us in higher education. And so it was just a wonderful opportunity, and I got the job here. And I have just absolutely loved working at Cedarville. Again, in the level of integrity that the students exhibit and faculty exhibits is just wonderful. And the academics are also excellent. So just moving more towards the importance of hearing female voices. Sure. And I have this conversation with my students all the time, especially with my female students, because there are some profound differences between men and women and things that we deal with in life and the way we approach things in life as well. And I think it is important to get the perspective of people who have been there and done that. And I am a mother and I'm a professional. And it is important for my female students to see that it is doable. You can have it all. You can be a strong Christian leader, a woman, a mother, and have a career and be successful at that.
Wow.
I think leading by example is important. And also, I think being a servant leader is also key. I really love the quote that the purpose-driven life, the book, starts with.
Yeah.
And it says, it is not about you. And it really is not about us. It's not about me here in academia. It is about my students. Of course, it is about the Lord first and foremost. But without the students, we would not be here.
Yeah.
So it is about them. It's about serving them.
Well, listen, we're going to get into some some edgy topics today, because I have a lot of thoughts about this. I mean, I'm married to a strong woman, Kelly, and she's a counselor, and she brings talents to the family that I know that I can't do. And then there's other talents that I bring to the family that she probably would say she can't do as well. So I do think the male female together really provides a strong force. But let's talk about this for a moment, because I've read things on social media that basically say if a man does certain actions and behaviors, it's positive. Mm. But if a woman would act the same way, she'd be called a bunch of bad names. But let's talk about that for a moment, because when I, as a guy, see a female leading who is, I'm just going to use major stereotypes here. Okay. Cause I think it helps people get there faster. So if I see a female who's like way over the top alpha male energy, mm-hmm. I'll say this, I'm turned off, but I'm also turned off if a guy has that. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
So to me, it's not as much. I feel like sometimes a guy or a woman can massively overcompensate. Mm-hmm. And instead of influencing, mm-hmm. they're more like command and control. So have you ever seen that?
Mm-hmm. I have not dealt with that personally. I have not received the backlash from other people for myself personally. And maybe it is because
you aren't like that.
I'm not like that. But yes, but I have seen people like that, both man and women. And I have heard people say that if it is a man overcompensating in those ways, it is more socially acceptable compared to a female.
Yeah.
And she is perceived to be, you know, right. All these negative connotations
right.
with her behavior.
Yeah.
So I have heard that. Yes. Yeah.
But I respond, I have no problem in the business world, even the higher academic world, having, you know, women over me. Mm-hmm. And I'll even say that my president of my company is a female, and mm-hmm. and most of the people in my company are females. But what I do struggle with is the lack of servant leadership, mm-hmm. regardless of the gender. And I got to give Alina huge props, because I'm not even going to say who was in the room. Doesn't matter. But, you know, there was a setting a few weeks ago where I was like, I rarely get rattled. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty chill. But there was a meeting where I just felt like, what is going on? Like we weren't making progress. And I'm a big, like, what's the plan? Let's take action. We don't have time to waste, because I think time's so important. And, you know, someone was in the room and they were just, in my opinion, they kept going round the barn. And you handled it so well.
Thank
you handled it so
that.
Well. In fact, I was like, oh my gosh, this is the fruit of the spirit, patience right here. So let's talk about that. Is that a gender thing, or did you just, have you just been able to excel in that area?
So I do not think it's a gender thing. I think it's a perspective thing.
You just think Carrie was impatient.
No, I for me, it's about resolving the issue.
Yeah.
And so I will strive to find a way to resolve the issue where every party will walk out, at least.
Yeah.
As far as I can do that, walk away content.
Yeah.
So and so, reaching that resolution, not focusing on the personal or on the negative that the person might bring, and that person, any other person might have their own perspective and their own frustrations. So I tried to lead with empathy. I tried to deal with situations from the point of empathy and try to see where the other person is coming from.
Mm.
So I do not think that it is gender specific. I just try to focus on the resolution. And in that particular situation or any other situation, pushing back would not have been productive or conducive to the resolution.
So sometimes in the sake of time, we could be like, well, gee, I just want to button this thing up. But to button this thing up may cause relational damage.
And the bigger
that would take more time.
Right, absolutely. And the bigger picture as well is that you will be dealing with that person or those people again. Mm. And if you build a good relationship with them immediately, it will be easier to deal with any potential issues that arise in the future as well.
I've heard this. I've heard that, you know, as I've been out in the business world now for a while, I've heard, you know, guys can just, I'm not saying at Cedarville here, but this quote is, guys can just yell and scream at each other, cuss each other out, and then leave the meeting and their friends because it was for the sake of the mm-hmm. business. But then females don't have the same approach. Now, what do you think about that? Is that inaccurate? Is that true? What do you think?
I think it is inaccurate. I have you know, been in situations or worked with men as well, where it disrupted their relationship, where when they got into it, if you will, in those more aggressive ways. So I think regardless of gender, it makes sense to approach the issue at hand with the grace and just trying to resolve the problem and without the aggressive element to it.
So we can't bring our faith
right.
into the business place. I mean, we can't exhibit humility.
Oh, we absolutely. I think it's a must. I think it absolutely is a must. I think if you are coming in the business arena from the place of arrogance and I'm not sure what the word is.
Unteachability.
But, right, exactly. I think good things do not happen in those
yeah.
areas.
No, that's great. So let's talk about this. What do you think of women having a stereotype of there being drama? Do you think that that's mm-hmm. inaccurate? I know some people that have offices and they might say, you know what? Anytime there's a lot of women in the room, there's a lot of drama and sideways mm-hmm. energy and stuff. Do you think that that's inaccurate? Do you think that mm-hmm. that's not a correct statement?
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I have heard that stereotype perpetuated time and time again. And I believe it is just that. It's a stereotype. I do not think that women are drama any more than men are drama or any less than men are drama. I really think it depends on your personality. Mm. And even here, you know, we work with so many women. Professor Howell is a female, Professor Rich, Professor Tsai, Professor Turkelson, and we all get along great.
That's cool.
Because, you know, we're here for the same purpose. Uh-huh. And so I think males are as likely to be dramatic as females are, but it just depends on your personality and the way you approach, you choose to approach life and work environment.
So I like what you're saying. You're almost saying that these gender stereotypes are unhelpful.
Absolutely.
Because it really depends, it's almost like you have one experience and then you say, wow, that person was a female. So all mm-hmm. female, or hey, that guy, you know, there's a term right now. In fact, let's go here for a moment. I follow a lot of social media, and there was a social media interview happening where a guy was interviewing women and saying, are men necessary? Mm-hmm. Are men necessary? Mm-hmm. And every female that he interviewed, of course, he probably edited mm-hmm. it, said no. Mm-hmm. Men are not necessary. Men are not important. And then of course, over the video, it says 99% of carpenters are male, mm-hmm. 90% of construction workers are male. In other words, there is mm-hmm. this thing in this culture where as a guy, maybe the pendulum has gone the other way mm-hmm. where it's like,
itself.
Mansplaining. Mm-hmm. If a guy mm-hmm. says something to a woman, it's like, oh, you're mansplaining mm-hmm. now. But yet, so what do you think about all that?
I think that drama sells. I think mm. that people like to use divide to sell their agenda.
Ah.
And I really do not think that this divide is as deep as the people on social media are trying to portray mm. it. And like you said, it's likely that some of those bloggers and vloggers edit their videos to fit their agenda.
Yeah.
And I think that we are more alike than we are not. Mm. And either way is very unhealthy and unhelpful. And where, even though it is true that some businesses have more females and others have more males, some job fields have more females and more males just naturally. And I think it just attests to and points to our profound differences in what we like to do, what we're drawn to. But other things are more similar than different.
Gotcha. So let's talk about some of those differences that are positive. Mm-hmm. In a business setting, where do you think, and I know we're speaking stereotypically, mm-hmm. not every guy, not every woman, exactly. but where are, in generalities, where do you think businesses would benefit from having a female perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, in generalities, females tend, from my experience, to approach the world with more empathy. They are able to put themselves into another person's shoes, so to speak, and they're able to, and of course, you know, we are mothers, or we're created with the ability, most of us, to have children. Mm. And so we have to have that empathy for our kids, and that translates, and that nurturing to, I believe, the business field. And it is important to see the world from another person's perspective. Another thing is, they say women are more likely to be able to multitask. And I have seen that as well. Juggle a bunch of things.
But would you say that I'm pretty good at multitasking?
I would say you are great at multitasking, yes. And again, you know, we're not.
There's exceptions.
There are exceptions. Yeah. Well, there are plenty of men who are great at multitasking, sure, sure, as well. But I think just by the virtue of having to wear many different hats, we have to be good at that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there is the typical, you know, men thinking adding machines or calculators, mm. women thinking computers. Like, I agree. There's a lot of guys that can't, you know, it's almost so task oriented that they can't even be bothered mm-hmm. with something other.
Right. And really, that's why we have so many women in the teaching field, in the medical field. Yeah. I think it attests to our strength in nurturing and empathy.
Yeah.
Just as a gender.
And then how do you think men and women can benefit? Like, what might all female business team appreciate from a guy's perspective? I don't know. What do you think?
Well, and maybe that's the question I should be asking you as a male, but let's think of my experiences with working with teams that are predominantly male. And again, I'm struggling because I really don't want to stereotype here.
I hear you. Yeah, you don't have to go there if you don't want to.
Well, I wanted to say a rational approach, but then I think of so many females who also approach the world from this very rational standpoint as well.
Yeah. Well, here's an example. Regardless of gender, I've walked into rooms where the outcome is not stated. Mm-hmm. The decision is not made. And whether it's a male or female thing, it's a personality thing. If I'm mm-hmm. in that room, I'm like, come on, people, let's come up with a decision.
Right. And that's why I'm struggling answering this question.
Because it's different for different genders.
Different.
Yeah, I get you. Okay, so let's talk about this. What's your goal for why God put you here at Cedarville? Mm-hmm. In other words, I think I told you in the beginning, I keep sending females your way. Like, I think mm-hmm. it's actually good for the students to see a very competent, confident woman. And so I'm happy. You know, I meet with the females and the guys, mm-hmm. but I'm happy for them to get your perspective. Mm-hmm. What do you see as kind of your role here at Cedarville? Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you sending female students to me as well. And I welcome them. Of course, I welcome both males and females. But it is it does make sense that females would relate to another female on a much deeper level. And what do I see as my purpose here? My purpose here is to serve. We are here for our students. I am here for my students primarily. We would not be here without them. And being that servant leader, connecting with them, and you know, when you're here to serve, when I understand that I'm here to serve, I think of what needs am I supposed to be meeting here? And there is a need for connection. There is a need for support. There is a need to relate to each other. There also is also a need to lead with example, to, as I said prior, to show that example that yes, you can do it. And I'm saying that because I've had my students ask me several times in the past, you know, how is it possible to have a family and have a career? And I say, yes. And of course you have to sacrifice. And sometimes, you know, some things have to give at certain points of your career, but yes, it is possible. And if God puts you there, He will make a way. So my purpose here is to love them, to teach them, to hold them accountable, because accountability is important, to push them towards excellence academically and in their personal life as well, maintain that integrity, and just be there for whatever they need. And there are so many ways that, you know, I approach my teaching from the standpoint of being available and just trying, making an effort to connect with my students. And you have to be intentional to do that. You can't just think, okay, I am available, and assume that your students know that. So I communicate it to them very explicitly, and I tell them, you know, these are my office hours. However, I am here from morning until, let's say, 4 p.m. Stop by my office, call me, make an appointment with me, just come in and chat. I bought a coffee machine because students love coffee. I bring snacks to make it easier for them to just drop by, because even a few moments getting a coffee in my office is a point to connect with them. Another great thing about being here at the School of Business is that I understand that I stand on the shoulders of those who have been here for years, some decades, those who came before us. And so there is just so much learning that I have been engaging in, even from my colleagues. And I will give you an example. I was talking to Dr. Sturkenberg, which it's almost his birthday. So shout out, Dr. Sturkenberg, happy birthday. But he was saying to me that to him, teaching is not, does not only happen in the classroom. It also happens outside of classroom when he gives his feedback. And so I have been, I had been doing that for a while, but I didn't, I never put it in those words. And so, and you probably know that we, most of us professors, we hate grading. It's the least favorite part of our job. But just using that to connect with our students, giving that relevant feedback, encouraging them when you see that they're struggling, praising them when you see that they're doing well. And when you're in the classroom with, you know, 30 plus students, it, at times it is hard to find the time to connect with everyone or even most of them. But using those tools like grading, you know, having coffee within your office or going to Chuck's or anywhere else. Just make it very intentional, that time to connect with them.
Well, you've given me some tips before we even started. And I'll say this, I think it's unwise for guys to not ask for help. Like, I don't know if you felt that for me, but I don't have a problem saying, Alina, how do I remember everybody's names? And you're like, hey, print out these 10 name cards, and boom, we got it done. And so that really helped. But yeah, I'm often saying, okay, I'm in the business world, you're in higher academics, how do I do X, Y, Z? And it's very helpful. Let's do this. Let's, in our last 5 minutes, let's talk about kind of a speed round of unique challenges to males and females. For example, I've heard, and I don't know if this is true, could be a stereotype, but I've heard that women, maybe if they're in an all guys setting, they almost have to work extra hard. Do you think that that's an unfair statement, or do you think that that's a true statement?
Well, it's hard for me to tell because I've always had to work extra hard just because of who I am.
That's right. So you're like that.
I am like that personally. I'm very driven. I work hard. I work on weekends because I enjoy doing that. And so I never experienced the other side where I had to work even, I felt like I had to work even harder because I already work hard. I've heard people say that before, but
maybe that's a personality thing too.
Maybe it is a personality thing.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that if it's a guy and he's slacking or a girl and she's slacking, mm-hmm. it's the same thing. Like it's mm-hmm. a person. So maybe we use these gender things sometimes as a crutch.
To simplify life instead of actually thinking and trying to get to know people and trying to understand the complexities of the world, we try to simplify. And of course, we hurt people when we do that.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. So what would you say to a female who's watching this, who's not at Cedarville yet, or maybe it's a mother and she's thinking of her daughter going to Cedarville or a dad or whatever. In other words, someone who might be a prospective student and be thinking about, can I do business and be a female? What would be a statement?
And the statement would be absolutely, wholeheartedly, yes, you can do business and be a female. Mm. We need more females in business. You know, God puts us in places for a reason. He gives us talents for a reason. And if you feel that this is your talent to be in the field of business or management or accounting in a variety of subjects that we teach here, you are welcome here. Mm. We love you. We have females who will mentor you, myself included, male professors who are wonderful as well. And so you are welcome here. You have so many talents that we need. Mm. And the academic excellence is here. You will be loved. You will be challenged. And you will develop the talents that the Lord has given you.
I love it. I love it. Got about 3 minutes left. So what's next for you? I hear that you're thinking of another degree.
What are some thoughts? Yes. So I am a huge believer in lifelong learning. And my next step is a PhD. I would like to specialize. I would also like to give back to the academia and my field. So I really want, I'm eager to do research. So more education and giving back to the academia.
Mm.
Those are my next steps.
How many kids do you have?
I have two kids, two boys.
Two boys. Interesting. So what do you hope your boys say about you as they think back to their mom being a business professor?
Mm. I hope that my boys will think and will say that I led by example and I followed the Lord where he led me to be and did my absolute best. You know, just my finishing words.
Yeah.
I once heard a speech and I do not remember who the speaker was. And his main point was, he said, we need to die empty. And I really...
Todd Henry.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I love that idea because we are not going to bring anything to the grave with us. So it is important to give and invest everything that God has given us, has endowed us with. Just give it away, invest in other people and die empty.
I love that. He's from, I believe, Cincinnati. I know that Dr. Heyman likes him.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that quote and I never forgot it because he tells the story right before that quote about the richest land in the world. And he says, what's the richest land? And somebody says, is it the diamonds in Africa? Is it the gold?
Mm.
And he says, no, it's a graveyard.
Right.
And he says it's because in a graveyard are all the unfinished novels, the songs that have never been written. And he says that most people die with Oliver Wendell Holmes said the story or the song still mm-hmm. inside them, but you're mm-hmm. saying die empty.
Die empty, absolutely.
I love that. I love that. It's like the Apostle Paul almost, mm-hmm. you know, about finishing. So, Alina, this has been awesome. I really wanted to interview you because, you know, I've interviewed Dr. Smith, Dr. Heyman, but of course, Dr. Supley, other females. But I wanted you to bring that perspective. I see you as a real catalyst here at Cedarville. A lot of women are being attracted to you to be that example. And thank you for tackling this tough, mm-hmm. tough issue today.
Thank you. It's, you know, we just scraped the surface, right, Carrie?
Oh, we did.
I appreciate you having me here. And it was a great conversation.
And you're on Instagram. You're on LinkedIn.
I am.
And we'll read your research someday soon.
I hope so. I cannot wait.
All right, folks. Go check out cedarville.edu and make it a great day. We'll see you.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.